That's good.
Good morning. Brother Maxon asked me to talk a few weeks ago today about Thanksgiving. And I told him I didn't mind at all. Like Brother Maxon, this is also my favorite time of the year. The weather's getting colder. You got Thanksgiving holiday coming up, Christmas, a big break from school, football season, deer season. A lot of things that I'm thankful for right now. And even though I agreed to talk today, I still believe that maybe I don't know as much as some of the people here about being thankful, about what it truly means to be thankful for somebody or something, knowing what some of the people here have gone through. And I know that to some of the people here, I won't be saying anything new. But as different of circumstances as we've all had, as various of experiences that we've all had, and as different as we are in age, I believe that there's a lot we have in common. I am very thankful for my family, my physical family back home, as I know all of you are. I'm very thankful for my friends, both in this congregation and back home, as I also know that all of you are. I'm very thankful for my health and the ability I have to be here, as I know all of you are. I'm thankful for a person in my life who keeps me straight and narrow, on the straight and narrow. And I know that all of you people who have someone like that in your life, you're very thankful for them too. Those are the big things that I think is very easy to be thankful for. All the time, it's very easy for me to be thankful for my family. I'm never not thankful for my family. But what about the small, little things, the hard things? When you're waking up for work on a Monday morning, a tough job, or college students, when you have that class with a teacher that's a little bit of a moron and can't teach and his tests are just ridiculous and just makes college a lot harder than it needs to be. What about when you're stuck in traffic or when you're walking out to your car in the morning and you spill coffee all over yourself and have to go back in and change? How easy is it to be thankful then? Do you catch yourself in the moment? Or when it's all said and done, do you catch yourself maybe saying something out loud or saying something in your head and realizing that maybe you shouldn't say that because you really do have so much to be thankful for? I know I do when something like this happens, when something like that happens. I've never been to a third world country or maybe somewhere else in the world where they have it just a little bit tougher than we do, where they're a little bit less fortunate. I know Brother Carter and Brother Maxon are going to Africa soon. My congregation back home, a lot of the members went to Mexico one summer. But I've never gotten to experience anything like that for myself. And I know and I've seen that it can change somebody. It can completely change the way you look at things, the way you look at things in your life, and the way you're grateful for the things that you do have. I don't know what it is about myself especially and other Americans and where we live. It's so easy to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of everyday society. Whether it's a job or a student, whatever you have going on, it's so easy to just get so caught up in that. And the first thing that goes wrong, you're just like, why is this happening to me? When you have so much to be thankful for. Sometimes it takes an event like going to a faraway land and seeing how other people live, or even a tragic time or a loss of a loved one, to really be thankful. I was very young in 2001, but I know that this country was a lot more thankful on September 11th, 2001 than they were on September 10th. I was a junior in high school, and I know that for myself and most of the people in this congregation, if not everybody in this congregation, was a lot more grateful for what they had on April 27th, 2011 than they were on April 26th. How long did that last? Right out of high school, I accepted an offer to play football at Birmingham Southern College. And when I got there, I was met with a lot of new tests and struggles, temptations. It was a new world for me. I stayed pretty strong for a while, but I didn't surround myself with the people that I should have. I didn't come home enough. I straight up wasn't strong enough. And I eventually gave in to some of those temptations. There's a lot of things today I wish I could go back and change and do over. After a year and a half of playing football, I had some injuries, that I had to give up the sport. And at the time, I was so mad. I was so upset that this one thing I've always wanted to do, I couldn't do anymore. And I was just asking, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to give this up? I decided to make a transfer, and I came to Alabama. And it took me a while, but I found you guys at Northwood. And now looking back on those injuries, on what happened to me, I'm so thankful for those concussions. That was so selfish of me to worry about my plan and my plan not going the way it should have when I didn't realize that God did and still does have a much bigger plan for me. So I was thankful for those injuries. I was thankful for finding my way through these doors at Northwood. I'm thankful for all of you. So many things I've learned from you guys at Northwood. I've grown, and there's so many things that I can take with me. For example, how many of you here, and I don't know, this was before I was here, I don't know how they announced it, but when the elders first announced that they're going to do away with the afternoon service and go to a longer Sunday morning service, how many of you were like, we're going to do what? What are we doing? In my church back home, we've always had the afternoon service and the morning service, and that's great. And I've heard of churches doing what we do here, but the first time that I ever really experienced it was when I came here. And now I'm so thankful to have seen it because I know what that can do. Clearing up that space in the afternoons is perfect for group meetings. And I'm so thankful for those group meetings. We're busy during the week. It's hard to get together in the week. But I guarantee you, most of us are a lot more free on Sunday nights than we are on the rest of the week. So I'm so thankful for coming to Northwood and learning this. I'm thankful for those group meetings. I'm thankful for that whenever I move away, whatever congregation I'm in, if they want to go to this, I will know, and I've seen it firsthand, what it can do. I'm so thankful for all the classes we've had in the back room in the college class. This church is incredibly blessed with many teachers that can bring it. They teach great, great lessons every Sunday. I'm thankful for all the lessons I've heard from Brother Max and Brother Carter from the pulpit and others that have volunteered to preach Sunday in and Sunday out. Thankful for the singing that I've heard. It's been some of the best that I've ever heard. I've learned many new songs here. I'm incredibly thankful for the program that we have that takes in college kids to families. Makes them feel like they're a part of a family here when they're away from home. I've seen that happen for 2 years now. And I love it. I think it's beautiful. I didn't prepare much scripture for this talk because I knew we'd be reading a lot of scripture today. But in a minute, when I'm done, Brother Maxon's going to read a scripture from Philippians 4. And Philippians 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." There's so many verses that you can use to edify yourself and to make yourself be more thankful. But I've chosen this one because I think it's so simple. If you're rejoicing in the Lord and you're striving to do everything you can for the Lord, you can't help but be thankful. You can't help but be thankful all the time for things you didn't even know you had. You can't help but be thankful and not even realize you're being thankful if we're truly striving to rejoice in the Lord. The most important thing I believe there is to be thankful for, I want to outline with a quick story. It's a story my uncle told me many years ago. I'm pretty sure it's completely false, but it's still a pretty good story. As a professor of religious studies at a university, and being a just Christian man, he wants his students to truly believe the importance of what Jesus did for each and every one in the world. So he went to one of his students after class one day and asked if he could do 10 push-ups for every student in the class. being about 30 students, he would have to do 300 push-ups one morning. And the student agreed to do it. So the professor came back with his plan set in motion and a box of 30 donuts. He went to the first student's desk whenever class started and asked if he wanted a donut. The student said, of course. On cue, the person who he had talked to the day before got down and did 10 push-ups and got back to his seat. Now the students were a little confused. They didn't know what had just happened. He went to the next student and asked if they wanted a donut. He or she said, sure. The student he had talked to the day before got down and did 10 more push-ups. Now those young, wise college students caught on to what the professor was doing. By the time he got to the third student, he asked him if he wanted a donut. And he said, of course, but I want to do my own push-ups. The professor said, no, you can't do that. That's not an option. So he laid the donut on the student's desk, and the student he had talked to the day before did 10 more push-ups. He got to the fourth student and asked if they would like a donut. He or she said, no, thank you. As if on cue, the student he had talked to the day before got down and did 10 more push-ups. At this point, he went to every student in the classroom. He was worried that his push-up guy was going to tire out. But he made it through all 30 students. The last 27 students didn't even touch their donut. The student did 300 push-ups. And with tears in his eyes when he had finished talking to the last student, he went to the front of the classroom. He said, you see, I had determined before you even came to class today that each of you were going to get a donut. But it wasn't going to be free. Somebody was going to have to pay for it, whether or not you wanted it. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He paid the ultimate price, and he has given you everlasting life, whether you want it or not. That story hits so hard. And I think about how can I not be thankful each and every day when we have that ultimate salvation. I'd like to challenge myself especially and everybody here to remember that. To remember that great sacrifice. Remember all the things we have to be thankful for living in this country. Each and every day when times get hard. I know it's not always easy. Myself especially. But I'm so thankful for all of you at Northwood. So thankful for all that you've done. Even the people I have yet to meet. I apologize for that. I'm just a shy person. But I will meet you eventually. I thank you for your time this morning. Thank you.
I told you this was going to be good. As Hunter has said, our next passage is Philippians 4. James Earwood is going to speak to us in just a moment. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Our next song will be Jesus, Draw Me Ever Nearer. Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called.